Amid Hey Amid Aleph, we're up to the third line in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Umi Ika Lamanda Amar Chayve Misos Shogegen Chayavim. So if you remember yesterday, we were discussing this idea called Chayve Misos Shogegen, which is basically the concept that if you did an activity that otherwise warrants a chi of Misa, but for some technicality we can't put you to death, namely because you did it b'shogeg. So the question, we had Tumachulkas yesterday between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether that should also exempt you from paying. So Rabbi Yochanan said that because you're practically not being put to death, you still have to pay, whereas Reish Lakish disagreed. So now the Gemara is questioning that Machlokas. The Gemara says, is there anyone out there, namely Rabbi Yochanan, that can say that in a case where I can't get put to death because it's shogeg, then now I have to pay? Comes the famous statement of Tana de Vechizkiah. Tana de Vechizkiah basically draws a comparison based on a juxtaposition of Sukkim and Parshas Emor. The Torah says that there is a punishment for killing a person, obviously death, and then there's another punishment for killing an animal, which is payment. So the Gemara says, just as when it comes to the standards for killing an animal, it doesn't make a difference how or why you kill the animal. You kill someone's animal, you have to pay for it. It doesn't matter if it was b'shogeg, if it was b'mezid, if you intended, you didn't intend, none of that makes any difference. You have to pay for the guy's animal. You killed the guy's animal, so you have to pay for it. So the same is true when it comes to killing a person. Namely, that no matter how or why you kill the person, you're always going to be putter from paying. Again, if there's a payment attached to the death. That's the classic example of Gimlei. So how could Rabbi Yochanan argue that, well, if I killed someone b'shogeg, or if I warranted a chi of misa b'shogeg, now I'm putter from mamon. It's not true. I'm sorry. Now I'm chayav to pay. It's not true. Tana de Vechizkiah explicitly says that you're always putter from paying no matter what. So the Gemara says, no. Ela ki aso ravin amar, chayve miso shogegin, kulei ama lo pligi difturin, ki pligi b'chayve malkos shogegin v'davar acher, Rabbi Yochanan amar chayav, chayve misos iskosh, chayve malkios lo iskosh, Reish Lakish amar putter, b'feirish ribtza Torah, chayve malkios ke chayve misos. The Gemara says, you're right. Everyone agrees. Even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that when it comes to a theoretical chi of misa, so let's say I violated an avera that carries the chi of misa, but I did it b'shogeg, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that I'm putter from paying. No one denies that. The machlokes is regarding a case of malkus. So let's say I did an avera that carries a chi of malkus, and I also incurred a monetary obligation at the same time. That's the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. There, Rabbi Yochanan says that you're chayav because that juxtaposition of make adam to make behema only applies to misa. It does not extend to malkus. Whereas Reish Lakish says no. Reish Lakish says that the Torah explicitly makes a comparison between Misa and Malka. So where is that comparison? Heichal ribsa Torah. Amar Abaye Asya Rasha Rasha. Rava Amar Asya Make Make. So there's a machlokes between Abaye and Rava, what exactly the source for this comparison or juxtaposition is. According to Abaye, it's based on Exer Shava from the Psukim of Rasha Rasha. What are the references there? So the first one is a pasuk from Parshas Maaseh that says, Asher hu Rasha Lambas. That's in the context of murdering someone b'mezid. And then the other pasuk that's being referenced here is from Parshas Kisetze in the context of Malkus, the Haya in Ben Hakos HaRasha, in the context of Malkus. So you see, there's an explicit comparison drawn between Misa and Malkus. That's how Rava understands that comparison of Reish Lakish. Whereas Abaye, that was Abaye. Whereas Rava has a different Zerah Shava derived from the words Make Make. So the question is, Amar Le Rav Papa Le Rava Hey Make, which words Make, which psukim are we referring to here? Ilema Umake Vehema Yishala Mana Umake Adam Yumas Haibik Talaksiv. It can't be referring to that pasuk that we keep on quoting from the end of Parshas Emor that says that when I kill an animal, I have to pay, and when I kill a person, I get put to death. That pasuk is only talking about Misa. There's no reference to Malkus there. We're trying to prove that Reish Lakish is correct, that there's a comparison between Misa and Malkus, so that pasuk is a terrible source. It doesn't talk about Malkus at all. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela hai make. Make nefesh behema yeshalemena nefesh tachas nefesh usmichle ve'ishki yitain mumba amiso ka'asher asa king yaselo. So the Gemara says, well, maybe you could point to another set of psukim at the end of Parshas Emor that says, when you kill an animal, you have to pay a soul for a soul, and then it goes on to say in the next pasuk that if you strike someone, if you injure a person, so whatever you did to him is going to be done to you. So the Gemara says, but hang on a second. V'hai lav makehi. That second pasuk that says, v'ishki yitain mum ba'amiso, when I inflict a wound in another person, it doesn't use the word makeh. It says, I'm inflicting a wound. It's not the same word. Usually, when you're deriving a gzeirah shava, the words have to be either literally identical or at least similar enough. So the Gemara says, no. Anad hakah hakah kamrinan. In other words, the gzeirah shava, according to Rava, is not so literal. It's not the word makeh, but rather it's the concept concept of hitting, of smiting, of striking. So that pasuk, even though it doesn't, you know, literally use the word makay, but it does reference the idea of hitting or injuring a person. So then the Gemara asks, v'haki ksiv b'chovo b'chaveru hu d'chsev, v'chovo b'chaveru bar tashlumenu. The Gemara says, but okay, fine. So even if you want to argue that that pasuk in Emor about inflicting a wound in another person is a valid source, that pasuk is talking about the concept of chovo b'chaveru, of injuring a person. And as we've already pointed out earlier in the week, the punishment for injuring a person is paying for it. You have to pay the value of the damage and not malchus. So how on earth is this going to be a source that malchus is compared to misa? We're trying to prove again that according to Reish Lakish, we draw this comparison between misa and malchus. But again, this is not a valid source because the pasuk is talking about injuring a person, which as we've already established earlier in the week, the punishment for that is payment as opposed to malchus. So the Gemara says, no, im eino inyan lahakash yesh bashve pruta. This is also a point that we've referenced earlier in the week, which is that that's not always true. In other words, 99% of the time when you injure a person, you have to pay as opposed to malchus. However, there is one exception to that, which is if the value of the damage was so minuscule, was so small, it was less than a pruta's worth of damage, then the punishment is going to be malchus. So because there is a scenario where that is the case, this can in fact act as a valid source. So the Gemara then asks, sof lav bar tashluminu. But at the end of the day, this is still not a person who's subject to payment. Because again, when it comes to chovo b'chaveru, there's only one of two options. Either the damage was significant, it was more than a pruta's worth, so therefore you're paying, and there's no malchus, or the damage was so minute that you're only getting malchus. In other words, there's no kimle scenario here. There's no scenario where both punishments are happening to you at once. Either it's malchus or it's mammon. So the Gemara says, no, lo tzricha devahade demachi kara shira in delay. The case could be as follows, where in the course of striking someone, as I'm about to punch, strike the person, I also happen to tear his very expensive silk garment. So in other words, that's like an external obligation that goes into effect simultaneously. So that could theoretically be a type of kimle. So then the Gemara pushes back. Amar le Rechia le Rava. Ulasana devei chizkiya da amar makei adamu makei vehima. Mimai devechol ksiv veleika le ifluge. Dilma b'shabes ksiv devevehima gufa ika le ifluge. So now the Gemara pushes back against Tana de Vechizkiah's general premise. Now again, remember, we spoke about earlier on the previous Amud, that the pasuk of Makei Adam u'Makei Vehima are obviously two separate obligations. There's, you know, killing a person where there's a normally a chi of Misa, and killing an animal where typically the punishment is that you have to pay for the death of the animal. So the Gemara says, well, that's all assuming that this pasuk is talking about during the week. Namely, if I kill some guy's animal, so it doesn't make a difference what the circumstances are, I always have to pay for it. But the Gemara says, maybe that's not what the pasuk is talking about. Maybe the pasuk is talking about a case where I killed someone's animal on Shabbos. Now, if I kill someone's animal on Shabbos, it's going to make a very big difference what the intentions were. If I killed someone's animal on Shabbos, b'mezid, with hasra, with edim, then I'm chayiv misa for violating shochet on Shabbos, right, for killing an animal on Shabbos. Whereas, if I kill the animal b'shogeg, then I'm going to be putter. So the Gemara says this actually could, you know, theoretically be a proof to the question of if a person is only theoretically chayiv misa, let's say he killed an animal b'shogeg on Shabbos, would that also exempt him from paying? So the Gemara says, why are we automatically assuming that the case of killing the animal was just some guy during the week, he killed an animal, now he has to pay? Maybe it's talking about a case where he killed an animal on Shabbos, and now it actually makes a very big difference whether he killed the animal b'shogeg or b'mezid. So the Gemara says, no, lo salka daitach dechsev u'makei v'heima yishalamena u'makei adam yumas hechidami. So what's the case of the pasuk? Idala asrubei makei adam amai yumas. Obviously, in other words, it can't be that there was no hasra, because if there was no hasra, then you cannot put a person to death for killing somebody else. Ela pshita da asrubei. So it must be, therefore, that of course there was hasra. V'i b'shabbos makei Now, if there was hasra and you killed an animal on Shabbos, then why are you only paying for the animal? If you b'mezid with hasra, with edim, kill an animal on Shabbos, you're chayiv misa for that. You violated a malacha of shochet. Of course, you're going to be chayiv misa. The pasuk is underselling your punishment. It says, if I kill an animal, I have to pay. So, of course, that's only going to be relevant during the week. Killing an animal during the week, that warrants a chayiv mamon. Killing an animal b'mezid on Shabbos with hasra, of course, is going to warrant a chayiv misa. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Papa li Abaye.
Yeah. One that you have to pay.
Well, no, because again, if this were theoretically to happen on Shabbos, you would be exempt from the chi of mammon. Right, you would be exempt from the chiyamon. Hasra is only required when it comes to bodily punishments, like malchus and misa. So, in order to administer malchus or misa, hasra is required. If I break your window, I don't need hasra beforehand to now have to pay you for the value of the window. That's not considered a bodily punishment. That's just considered a monetary fine. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Papa li Abaye, le Rabba de Amar chidashu shechidsha Torah b'kenasi afagav de mikdil mashalim masnisin keman mokim. If you remember yesterday, we spoke about the position of Rabba, where Rabba, again, there was a machlokas with within Rabbi Meir between Rabbah and Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Meir, typically, we think, denies the principle of Kimle, but the question was, to what degree does he deny Kimle? So according to Reish Lakish, he only denies Kimle halfway. Namely, he says, Loke umishalim isle. In other words, if you have a scenario where there's an obligation of Malkus and Mammon that coincide, then Rabbi Meir says you get both punishments. He denies the concept of Kimle in that regard. But if it's Misa and Mammon, then Rabbi Meir does, in fact, buy into Kimle, where he says that the Chi of Misa is going to trump the Chi of Mammon. However, Rabbah thinks that Rabbi Meir denies Kimle across the board, even when it comes to a Chi of Misa. Rabbah believes that Rabbi Meir thinks that you can be Chi of Misa and also have to pay at the same time. Now, if that's true, in other words, Rabbah's formulation of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbah also told us back on yesterday's daf that whenever a person incurs a kenas, part of the chiddush of the kenas is that it overrides the chi of misa, so to speak. In other words, let's remember all the examples we gave the other day about shechting on Shabbos or shechting for avodah zarah, where you're chai of misa for the activity that you did, but you also incur a penalty of dalad vehei for shechting the stolen animal, let's say. So the question now is, according to Rabbah, I'm going to be chai of misa, and I'm also going to be chai of mammon. So how? So in other words, how does he explain our mishnah? What's the issue here? Ikira Meir Kasha Bito, Iki Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana Kasha Achoso, Iki Rabbi Yitzchak Kasha Mamzera. So either, in other words, whichever way you look at it, whichever Tana you want to plug into the Mishnah, there's a case in the Mishnah that's difficult to square with the opinion of Rabbah. So the Gemara explains. In other words, within Rabbi Meir again is the one who denies Kimle. Now again, remember, according to Rabbah, Rabbi Meir denies Kimle entirely, even when it comes to a Chi of Misa. So a person incurs a Chi of Misa at the same time as a Chi of Mammon, which Rabbah claims that according to Rabbi Meir, you still have to pay. Now the problem is, how do you explain the case of Bito? And if a person has relations with their daughter, they're chayiv misa. So now, let's say, for example, the daughter was also a nara. She was also between 12 and 12 and a half, which normally would also incur a kenas, as the opening mishnah of the parak told us. So now, the person has a chayiv misa for having relations with their daughter, plus a chayiv kenas because he had relations with a girl who was between 12 and 12 and a half. So the mishnah explicitly said that you're putter from paying for the kenas because you're chayiv misa for having relations with your daughter. But the problem is... That's a good question. So probably to his... No, because once the girl is already over the age of 12, she's now entitled to the kenas. Yeah. Right. So well, right, exactly. So in other words, well, yeah, but again, technically speaking, the Nara is already considered over Bas Mitzvah. She is in her father's domain for certain regards, but maybe in that scenario she would actually she would be entitled to, you know, take the kenas. Yeah, yeah. That's a fair point actually. Who would theoretically get the kenas. But again, the point is that the Mishnah says that in that scenario the father is exempt from paying the kenas because he's chayav misa for having relations with his daughter. But the problem is that according to Rabbah's understanding of Rabbi Meir, he denies Kimle even by a chiyuv Misa, which means that you should be paying the kenas. That's the first problem.
I learned yesterday that the kenas is not canceled.
That's exactly the Gemara's point. That according to Rabbah and according to his understanding of Rabbi Meir, because kenas is not canceled out by a chi of misa, how does he read the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that if one has relations with their daughter when she's a nara, so he's putter from the kenas because he's chi of misa for having relations with his daughter. So the question is, but according to Rabbah and according to Rabbah's version of Rabbi Meir, that's not true. According to Rabbah's version, you should be paying the kenas because Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbah, denies kimle across the board. Then the Gemara says, what about according to Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana? Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana has a shita throughout Shas where he says that even a chi of kares, which is not a chi of misas bezdin, even just a regular chi of kares will also exempt you from paying. So the problem is that the Mishnah says if one had relations with one sister when she was a nara, the Mishnah says that you're chayiv to pay for the kenas, but according to Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, you should be putter. So the Mishnah can't be squared away with that shita either. And then the third attempt the Gemara makes is that according to Rabbi Yitzchak, even a regular chi of malchus that should exempt you from paying the kenas. But the din is that if a person has relations with a woman who's a mamzera, so that's a regular lav in the Torah, lo yavo mamzer bekal Hashem. So one violates a regular lav, and the Mishnah says that you are chayav to pay the kenas, but according to Rabbi Yitzchak, you should be putter. So in other words, any way you turn, Rabbah's position seems very difficult to fit into the Mishnah. So the Gemara explains: Han yicha isaver la kerabbi Yochanan, hunami misaritz la kerabbi Yochanan, ela isaver kereish lachish hechi misaritz la. So the Mishnah can still make sense if you subscribe to Rabbi Yochanan's position, as we've already referenced a few times this week, where Rabbi Yochanan says that as long as the actual chi of Misa or chi of Malkus or whatever it is has not been carried out, because let's say you did a Peshogeg or there was no Hasra or whatever it was, so Rabbi Yochanan said that you still are going to have to pay. So there is still a way to salvage our Mishnah. You could just say that the guy had relations with his daughter or sister Mamzeres without a Hasra or Peshogeg or whatever the scenario was. So in that case, you could actually justify why there is a kenas that has to be paid. But according to Reish Lakish, that you're always putter from the kanas, even if the act was committed b'shogeg. So the question is, how do you square away the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, you're right. Al korcha ki Rabbi Yochanan sfir le, you have to say, therefore, that the Mishnah can only read straight according to Rabbi Yochanan, again, when you're within the worldview of Rabbah. According to Rabbah, the only way to read the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yochanan, that if practically speaking, we're not putting the person to death, so then we can justify now forcing him to pay the kanas. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Masna li Abaye, le Reish Lakish, de Amar Betherish, Ribsa Torah, Chai Vim Alkios, Chai Vim Misos, Mantana, de Fala Galei, de Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, you Rabbi Meir, you Rabbi Yitzchak. And the Gemara just points out that according to Reish Lakish's version, again, he's the one who claims that the Torah makes a comparison between Malkus and Mamon, between Malkus and Misa, namely, the same way that one who's Chai of Misa, that will exempt him from paying. The same is true when it comes to Malkus. So who is the Tana that disagrees with Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana? Because again, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana is the one who said that a chi of kares is enough to exempt you from paying the kanas. So the Gemara says you either have to side with Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yitzchak. Because again, Rabbi Meir is the one who's going to argue that, again, within Reish Lakish's worldview, that only a chi of Misa will exempt you, but not a chi of Malkus or a chi of kares. And according to Rabbi Yitzchak, even a regular chi of lav, even a regular chi of Malkus is going to exempt you from paying the kanas, but not a chi of kares or a chi of Misa. Okay, then the Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan. Arayos ushnios li arayos ein lohen lo kanas lo pitui, hamima enes ein lo kanas lo pitui, islandes ein lo kanas lo pitui, vahayotzes mishum shemra ein lo kanas lo pitui. The Gemara rattles off several statements or several categories of people who are not entitled to collecting the penalty for rape or seduction. So first the Gemara says arayos and shnios li arayos, which we'll define in a second. Then the Gemara says a girl who's a mima enes, which again means that she was married and then she refused the marriage. She walked out on the marriage when she was under bas mitzvah. So the presumption is that because she was already married as a ketana, she's no longer a basula, which means that she's no longer entitled to that payment for the kanas or for pitui. Then the Gemara says the same is true for an islandess, a girl who's physically not going to reach puberty. And then the case of yotzeis mishum shemra, there were rumors spreading that the girl had an affair after irisin, right? So in these cases, the presumption is that either she's not a basula, either physically or because she already had an affair or because she already had relations. So in those cases, she forfeits her right to collect any sort of kanas. So the Gemara now asks, my arayos umay shnios li arayos. Ilema arayos mamish shnios mi divrei sofrim, kevin de mi de orais achazyalei amay ein lahen kanas. So it can't be that when the Gemara refers to arayos and shnios li arayos as being exempt from paying for kanas or for pitui, it can't be referring to literal shnios li arayos, right? In other words, usually when we hear the term shnios li arayos, as we're familiar with from Yevamos, shnios li arayos usually means secondary types of arayos that are only usher midrabanan. Like, for example, the prohibition against having relations with a grandmother, with a granddaughter. Those are all the secondary types. But the thing is that since mida oraisa, there's nothing wrong with having relations with those women, so then you should be paying kanas and pitui, because the whole concept of kanas and pitui is a din de oraisa. So if the woman is fit for you to marry or to have relations with me, the oraisa, there's no reason why you shouldn't be paying that kanas or pitui. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela arayos chayve misos bezden, shnios chayve kresos, aval chayve lavin, yesh lahen kanas, umani shemana timni. So the first version of the Gemara is that the term arayos is a reference to very high level arayos, those types of arayos that carry with it a chi of misos bezden, whereas shnios li arayos is a lower level, namely a chi of kares. However, if someone is only forbidden to you on pain of a regular lav, a regular chi of malka, so then there would be a kanas, and that's reflective of the famous opinion of Shimon HaTimni, which we quoted earlier in this Masechta. We quoted this back in Yevamos as well, which is there's a famous machlokas between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Menasya about what creates mamzerus. Does it mean someone who's re'uya l'kaima, someone that you're allowed to marry, or does it mean yesh b'havaya, that the marriage takes effect? So according to Shimon HaTimni, the standard is that the marriage has to take effect. So I'm not allowed to marry a woman who's a mamzeres, but if I do, the kiddushin is tofes because it's just a regular lav. So according to Shimon HaTimni, if one were to go ahead and have relations with a mamzeres, who's, let's say, a nara, who's a basula, you would in fact be chayav to pay the kanas, because in theory the kiddushin would have been effective. On the other hand, the Gemara says, ikud amre, arayos chayve misos bezden vichayve kresos, shnios chayve lavin, mani rev Shimon ben Menasihi. The second version of the Gemara says the opposite, that the term arayos refer both to people who are usher on pain of chi of misa as well as a chi of kares, whereas shnios refers to a regular lav, and that's reflective of the other opinion in the Gemara in Yevamos and earlier in the Masechta of Rav Shimon ben Menasya. He's the one who says that as long as you're not permitted to marry this woman, regardless of the degree of iser, whether it's just a regular lav, whether it's kares, whether it's Mises Bezdin, so then there's not going to be any sort of a kanas, which means that in all of these cases, there's not going to be any sort of kanas for rape or seduction. Okay.